Today's shir is Masechta Baba Kama Daf Mem Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Shar Shnagach Has Ad of a Mace, if a shar killed a person and he died, Mu'ud Mishalm Kaifer, Mu'ud has to pay Kaifer, V'tam Potam and a Kaifer, and the Tam doesn't have to pay the Kaifer. The Rishonim ask that as a rule, a Mishnah only mentions a din that is something that we wouldn't know explicitly from the Torah. The halacha that you have to pay kaifer, a mu'ud has to pay kaifer, is something that the Torah teaches us explicitly. And therefore ask the Rishonim, why does our Mishnah have to teach us this rule? One Torah that I saw is that, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, there is a discussion if one has to pay chatzi kaifer by a tam. By mu'ud you pay kaifer shalem, as our Mishnah is teaching us. By a tam do you pay chatzi kaifer. And the point of our Mishnah is to teach us that there's only an obligation to pay kaifer, not an obligation to pay chatzi kaifer. Another teretz that I saw is that the halacha is that in a situation of niskaven laharagas a behema, if the animal intended to kill another animal for horag as adam and instead killed a person, the halach is that kaifer does not have to be paid. And that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. Shor shenagach as adam, if he killed a person, that's when kaifer is paid. Otherwise, it's not paid. Bezeh vezeh, chayov misa. Furthermore, there's a chiv misa when an animal kills a person. And again, what is the chiddush in this din? So one pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that the Mishnah is teaching us that there's a chiv misa, even by a tam, that we would perhaps think that the chiv misa and the chiv for paying kaifer travel together. And if there's no chiv, if we just learned that there's no chiv kaifer, there ought not to be a chiv misa by tam also. Kamash Malan teaches us the Mishnah that the chiv misa is there by tam, even if there is no chiv kaifer. Another pshat is that we would perhaps think that when the Torah says v'im kaifer yushas alof, the Torah speaks about the animal who's a mu'ud that kills paying kaifer. And the Torah begins with the words ve'im. So we would think what the Torah means to say is that a person who has an animal who's a mu'ud that killed actually has a choice. Either let the animal die, get killed, or that kaifer should be paid. Teaches us the Mishnah, that's not the way it should be viewed. Rather, the halach is that both have to be done. The animal has to be put to death, and kaifer has to be paid. The same din applies if a child is killed by an animal that's a mu'ud, the animal should be killed and kaifer must be paid. Here too, why does the Mishnah have to teach us that a child is no different than an adult? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that since it's unfortunately easier to kill a child than killing an adult, so one would perhaps think that if an animal killed a child, it's not really considered that it committed murder. Teaches us the Mishnah, it is considered murder. Another pshat is that since one would perhaps think that it's the obligation of a parent to make sure that the child not be hurt, and if chas v'shalom the child was killed, the mazik should not be held responsible. Teaches us the Mishnah that that responsibility remains. Another pshat is that since by a child, he's not yet mechuyev b'mitzvahs, he's not obligated to mitzvahs, therefore his death maybe should not require such a serious punishment, teaches us the Mishnah that punishment remains. And the fourth pshat is that our Mishnah suggests some Rishonim is teaching us that a child's death has all, a Jewish child's death has all of these halachas, but an Eved Amma, there's going to be a difference between a child and an adult. Certainly the Rishonim do, however, say that if the child is a Nefil or question if he still might be a nefil, the halacha of kaifer doesn't apply. Nogach evra oma, if a muad kills an evra oma, the halacha of an adshar, kills an evra oma, the halacha is noisim shloshim shloim. Then shloshim shloim have to be paid. Bein shiyofa meimona, bein shiyana yofa el derechet. No matter what his value is, the Torah prescribes a set amount of shloshim kesef. And it's interesting, machloikis mishoinim, does this din apply even by an Eved Kanani or Am Kananis who is a child? The Chizkuni says that this only applies to an adult, not to a child. The Rambam says there is no difference between a child or an adult. And I saw a very nice pshat in explaining the machloikis between the Chizkuni and the Rambam, because there's a very interesting Sfarna. The Sephardim asks that this is a very interesting situation. This is one of the only places we find in the Torah that the Torah gives a set fine and doesn't differentiate, doesn't depend on the value of the child, on the value of the person who was killed. Why? So the Sephardim explains because it does in fact depend on that. Because the halacha is, we just discussed in our previous shiur, the Torah speaks about erchin. Erchin means that every person, dependent on their gender and their age, has a certain identified value that the Torah gives them. And the value of an adult woman is shloshim. Every eved, says the Sephardim, is like an adult woman, because even a male Eved is only obligated to do mitzvahs like women. So now we can understand, says the Sephardim, now we can understand the Machlokes. The Chizkuni will learn that the Shloshim Shel Eved are connected to an adult woman, but that's only by an adult, not by a child. And therefore by a child, an Eved who's a child, there would be no obligation to pay Shloshim. On the other hand, the Rambam says that it's a gzeiras hakosef, that you have to pay shloshim shalavit. There is no reasoning behind it, and therefore makes no difference if it's a child or an adult. By an eved or an omer that were damaged, shloshim have to be paid, shloshim kesef. Ask the Gemara the obvious question. V'chimi acher dimetam katlinalei, if Amishna says that as soon as a tam kills a person, Rachman Tzlan, he has to be killed. Mu'ud heichem mishkachslo. How will it ever happen that we have a mu'ud? As soon as the animal killed someone, he's obligated to be killed, and it'll never become a mu'ud, which an animal only becomes a mu'ud after killing three times. Answers the Gemara. Amar Rava, Hachem Ma'iskinen. Amishna is referring to a situation kigon shem duel shlosh bnei adam. What happened was that the animal chased people three times, and the people that the animal chased were successful in running away. But we see that this animal is to be considered a mu'ud because it has the tendency of chasing to kill people. Says Rav Ashi Omar, umdon alav klumu. The fact that the animal was chasing after people, if it never actually killed someone, it won't become a mu'ud just because it ran after someone. What happened was, it wounded a person, didn't kill him. And the same happened a second time. And the same thing happened a third time. After the third time, it wounding a person, then that person, then those three people, Rachman Tzlan, passed away, and now it turns out that the animal is a mu'ud, because it actually did kill three people, and that's why the animal will be put to death as a mu'ud, not as a tam. Rashi seems to say it will be put to death immediately, because Rashi is following the opinion that Rashi actually quoted earlier in the Masechta, that there are opinion, Rashi says it's the opinion of Rava, that an animal becomes a mu'ud at the third time it kills someone. However, Tosfos and most Rishonim strongly disagree with Rashi, and they say what the Gemara means is that it killed these three people, now pass away, now the animal is determined to be a mu'ud, and now when it kills the fourth time, will it have the halacha of a mu'ud. Furthermore, the Rashba explains that we have to understand the situation here is that between every act of wounding or damaging a person, the injuring a person, the owner was warned, because as we learned, that we're going to learn soon, the halacha, at least according to one opinion, is that the owner has to be warned between each act of damage. Rav Zvirama, the case is Kigon Shaharag Shalos Behemus. This animal first killed three animals, but for killing an animal, it doesn't deserve death, but it does become a mu'ud, and then it kills a person, and therefore it's going to be killed as a mu'ud, not as a tam. Ask the Gemara, that's the way Rashi explains the Gemara, or mu'ud la'ada, behema have a mu'ud la'ada. If an animal is a mu'ud because it killed animals, it doesn't become a mu'ud for killing people. As we have explained, a person and an animal have a different mazel. So just because this animal is a mu'ud la'behema, it cannot be declared a mu'ud la'ada. Elar amav simi, the case should be kigoyin shaharuk shalosh ayvik kachavim. It killed three goyim, so it becomes a mu'ud, but it doesn't deserve to be killed until it kills the Jew as a mu'ud. Again, ask the Gemara: mu'ud ayvik kachavim have a mu'ud liYisrael? If it killed goyim, doesn't make it a mu'ud. And as the Rishonim explained, the Gemara and the Havamina assumed that a mu'ud la'ayv k'chavim, a guy is a human being, and a Yisrael is a human being. And therefore a mu'ud la'ayv k'chavim ought to be a mu'ud li'Yisrael. Answers the Gemara that a mu'ud la'ayv k'chavim does not necessarily create a situation that it's a mu'ud li'Yisrael. Why? Because, as we just explained, being a mu'ud is dependent on mazel, and a Jew and a guy have different mazel, and therefore mu'ud lav kachavim will have a mu'ud liYisrael. Another pshat that the Shoyle Meishiv suggests is, as we've learned earlier in our Masechta, there are a lot of external factors that could play a role in an animal being a mu'ud, and one of those external factors is the clothing that its victims wear. And Jews and Goyim, says the Shalom Meishiv, don't wear the same type of clothing. And therefore, just because an animal is a mu'ud lav kachavim doesn't mean that it's a mu'ud liYisrael. We have explained the Gemara, as Rashi explains the Gemara, that the Gemara is asking questions. Mu'ud lav behema have a mu'ud la'adam, mu'ud lav kachavim have a mu'ud liYisrael. However, the Rambam seems to learn that the Gemara actually, this is not to be viewed as a question, but it actually is a statement, and that the Gemara is establishing that mu'ud lebehema have a mu'ud la'adam, mu'ud la'kacham have mu'ud liYisrael. There's a third opinion in the Rishonim that says that certainly mu'ud lebehema doesn't make it mu'ud la'adam, but mu'ud la'kachavim is considered mu'ud liYisrael because they're both human beings. Elo Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, how should we understand, what is the case? Kigoyin shaharuk shlosh bnei adam treifa. The first three people that the animal killed were treifa, people who were sick, that are treifas, that are sick and not going to survive, and therefore we don't put the animal to death for killing such individuals, because those individuals are not considered really living beings anyway, and therefore the animal doesn't become, isn't put to death until it actually kills a viable person. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, it shouldn't become a mu'ud at all. Or mu'ud l'treifa have a mu'ud l'shalem. If it killed a mu'ud, if it killed a treifa, it shouldn't have the din of a mu'ud at all. asked the Mefarshim, if now our Gemara is teaching us that any time an animal kills a person, if that person is a treifa, it's not considered the regular, or the dinim of a mu'ud killing don't apply, why should we not every time have a situation where an animal killed a person be concerned that the person the animal killed is a treifa and it shouldn't be put to death, it shouldn't have to pay kaifer? Answered the Mefarshim, that the Torah, when it exempts a treifa, speaks only to a case where we know for sure that the victim is a treifa. In a situation where we do not know for sure that the victim is a treifa, we don't treat him as a treifa. Elamar Papa, the case was the kotl v'argel agma, the animal killed and ran away. Yes, the animal after it killed the first time, even as a tam, should have been put to death, but it ran away. The kotl v'argel agma, it kept on doing that, so it did become a mu'ud, because it killed three times, but the reason it wasn't put to death is because we didn't have it. Only after it became a mu'ud and it killed were we able to get it, and then we were able to catch it and kill it. Rav Ach Barei, the Rav Ika Omar, he explains the cases, Kigon Shehuzmu, Zoymimen, Zoymimen. What happened is that a pair of witnesses came in and said that this animal killed a person, and then another, that then a pair of witnesses came and said, your testimony is incorrect, Imanu Hayisem, you were with us when this happened. And the same story like this, the same happened three times. Then another pair of witnesses come in and say, all of the people who testified and disqualified the Edom by saying that there were Zoymim, they were really the liars. Kigon Shehuzmu Zoymimen Zoymimen. They discredited all the Edom that made the other Edom into Edom Zoymimen. So now it turns out that this animal did indeed do damage three times and is indeed a mu'ud. And that's why now the halach is that the animal should be put to death, but he's put to death as a mu'ud. Ask the Gemara, we learned earlier in our Masechta a machloikis of how an animal becomes a mu'ud. One man d'Amas says, Le'yudei Tura, that if Edom come and say that this animal did damage three times, then the animal is identified as a mu'ud. But there was another opinion that said that the point was Le'yudei Gavra, to identify the owner as a person who hasn't adequately, properly watched his shor. And if we follow that opinion, the halach is we have to separately warn the owner each time. So if that happens in this case, asked the Gemara, that they came and discredited all of the Edom that made them into Edom Zoymimen retroactively, so now the Gemara's question is that doesn't satisfy the L'yudei Gavra, the need to speak about that the owner should be warned, the owner should be warned separately each time. Ask the Gemara, Hanicha, L'yudei Turbinen, if the purpose is to bring Edom that this animal did damage three times, we have indeed identified such a case. Shaper, Eli Yudei Gavra, and the owner has to get separate warning each time. And now when this last pair of witnesses came and they make all the previous witnesses who said that this animal indeed did damage as the true witnesses, Meimer Amalei, it still has an account. Meimer Amalei, can't he say to the court, Lo have Yadana, because I wasn't warned in between each one of these episodes? Answers the Gemara, Kigoin the Amri, the case refers that every time the witnesses said that the shor did damage, Kol Amos the Kotel Turei, every time that the shor killed somebody, Gabei Havakai, the owner was there. So the owner taking a position that he wasn't aware of it, and now when these last pair of witnesses come and say that he has such an animal, he didn't get the three proper warnings. That's not true, because the witnesses say that they know for a fact that the owner was indeed aware of every one of these situations. And the first point out from here, we see it's not that the owner has to actually receive warning. We have to be certain that the owner is aware of it, and awareness is all that the owner needs to have to be chayiv. Ravina Amar, Ravina gives another way of explaining. B'mekirin es bal ha'shor, v'mekirin es ha'shor. The reason why the animal wasn't killed, because they weren't able to identify the animal. They were able to say that this animal, that this person has an animal that killed three people. But since they couldn't identify the specific animal that was doing it, the animal wasn't put to death until they ultimately identify the animal. Ask the Gemara, if they weren't able to identify the animal, my Havalei Lemevid, why is the animal become a mu'ud? He doesn't know which animal is the mu'ud that it should have a din of a mu'ud. Answers the Gemara, Mishum da Amrilei, Tura Nechane Islai Bekarcha, Boilel and Kore Barcha. The fact that they weren't able, neither the witnesses, nor even the owner, to identify which is the specific animal that he owns that is a mu'ud, doesn't change the reality that he has a mu'ud in his herd, and he has to protect other animals or other people from this animal. And therefore, he has an animal that's mechuyev misa, but wasn't put to death because it wasn't identifiable. The Mefarshim attempt to give other explanations how we could have a case that the animal becomes a mu'ud even though it killed previously three people and hasn't yet been put to death. One pshat, the Meches Chinuch suggests, is that's referring to a situation where the animal became a mu'ud in front of a bezdin of three. And although an animal can become a mu'ud with testimony in front of a bezdin of three individuals, to kill the animal we have to have a full bezdin of 23, and that wasn't here. Another pshat that they suggest is that the owner of the animal was a treifa, and since the Torah says v'kiyigach shor ish ashar eyu, the owner has to be an ish. So if the animal was owned till this point by a person who's a treifa, the animal is not put to death. Another teretz, a very nice teretz, that the Hafla suggests. The Hafla says that we learned on the Hafla Mitzayin that the Gemara discussed that an animal could become a mu'ud when it killed a shor, chamor, adam. After it killed the three shor, chamor, adam. But that animal only becomes a mu'ud after he killed the adam, the third episode. And therefore, it only became a mu'ud now, and it won't. But it wasn't mechuyev misa yet, because the first two it killed were only a shor and chamor. V'zev v'zev chayav misa. We said whether a tam or a mu'ud kill a person, that animal should be put to death. Tana Rabbanan. The pasuk says, "V'kiyach shor es ish es ishev v'meis sokol yisokol shor v'lo yoychol es pesorai." So the Gemara asks, if the pasuk says sokol sashar, that the animal should be stoned, any adesh nevelu, any animal that's stoned is a nevela, and the halach is that nevela is a sur bechila, the one's not allowed to eat a nevela. Ma tam loymer lo yochel es pesorai. So why does the Torah have to say that you're not allowed to eat the basar? To teach us, says the Gemara, Magal Chakosu, the pasuk teaches us that if after it was decreed that this animal should be killed, the owner went and shechted it, still asa b'chila, it may not be eaten. Although Rabbi Kivega points out that we have learned that besides that shechita accomplishes that after the animal is slaughtered, it may be eaten. This animal, however, will not be allowed to be eaten. What Shechita also accomplishes, says Rabbi Vega, we know, is that Shechita accomplishes that you allow to, that the animal that's slaughtered is not going to be Tamei, versus, whereas an animal that is a Nevela is Tamei, says Rabbi Vega. Even though our Gemara is saying that the Shechita of this animal will not allow it to be eaten, still the halacha that an animal that's geshochten is not tamei, that much it will accomplish. Ask the Gemara, Eli ela b'achila, I only know that such this animal may not be eaten. B'hanah minayin, how do we know we're not allowed to have hanah from this animal either? Tamalaymer or Baal Shanaki. The pasuk continues, says Baal Shanaki, my mashma, what does that mean? Shimon ben Zoyma Omar, Kadim Shaimel Chaveroi, like somebody says to someone else, Yotza ish ploini minachosov. This person was cleaned out of his possession. Here too, it has to be Noki that he's not allowed to have any Hanor from this animal. Machloikis Rishonim, at what point the Issa Hanor begins? Some Rishonim suggest that the Issa Hanor begins at the moment the animal is sentenced to death. Other Rishonim suggest it only becomes Osaba Hanor when it's actually stoned. Continues the Gemara. Mamai, asked the Gemara, Layachlas Pesaroi, comes to teach us, Lahecha the Shachter, La'achash Nigmedinoi, that if it was Geshachten after was Nigmedinoi, Shas Bachila, Ema, perhaps we should say, the Hecha the Shachter, La'achash Nigmedinoi, Shar Bachilahu. If somebody would shecht it after it was Nigmedino, it would be Mutati. I for high law yoichlas pesaroi. What's it coming to teach us? L'hachle the sakle masakle, that if indeed it was stoned, the halacha is that then it's also b'hanohu, as Ravua teaches us. Damar Ravua Amar Belozer kamakum shenem la yoichel leisoichel leisoichlu. Wherever the Torah uses these words, echad es achila ve'echad es hanavim mashma. So maybe what the Torah is teaching us, asks the Gemara, is that indeed if somebody shechted the animal, the halacha would be that it's mutatit. Our Gemara is teaching us that it wasn't geshachten, rather it was stoned, and the Torah is teaching us that if it was stoned, not only is it obviously osaba chila because it's a nevela, but it's even osaba hano, and that's what the word la yoichel means. The Ravua teaches us that wherever the Torah uses this word, echad is achil of echad asa hanah b'mashma, it includes both an issa to eat and issa to have hanah, at sheyifr l'cha kosef, unless the Torah specifies otherwise, kedere sheperet l'cha b'nevela, as the Torah does by nevela, that even though the Torah says l'soichel k'on nevela, it does teach us l'ger b'nesina, that we could give a nevela to a ger, toshiv, or l'ev k'chav b'mechira, we could sell it to a goy. So perhaps that's what the Torah is teaching us. Amri answers the Gemara. Hani mili, when do I say that the word lo soichel comes to teach us an issa hanah? Heicha de mapiklei issa achila v'issa hanah mikra lo yoichel. If I say that the word lo yoichel is coming to teach us an issa achila, so Rav Avua says that not only does it come to teach us an issa achila, but it also comes to teach us an issa hanah. Aval hocha, in this case, this achila, the word lo yoichel isn't coming to teach us an issa achila, because that misakel yisakel nafka, that we already learned from the word sakel yisakel. So isak adatach, so hay lo yoichel as besor issa hanohu, if all we need to learn is issa hanoh, nechtev rachmana lo yehena, so it should be enough for the Torah to say lo yehena. Only when the Torah has to teach us an issa achila is this issa hanoh included. But here, we already know this achila, so wouldn't it make more sense for the Torah just to say lo yehena? What does it have to say is achila? Inami, even if we'll say that that's what lo yoichel is teaching us, that's coming to teach us that there isn't issa hanah, but then es besoroi lomali, why does the Torah have to say es besoroi? Doesn't come to say davgav the avdei came basar, that even if you shechted it asr, you still may not eat it. So Rav Avua taught us that wherever the Torah says lo yoichel, it comes to teach us echad isra achila ve echad isra hanah are both included. there's a fundamental question posed by the Achroinim. What does that mean? Does Ravu mean to say that Lo Yoichel includes two Isurim, an Isur Achila and Isur Hana, and therefore those are two separate Isurim? Or what does Torah mean to say is that the Isur Achila not only encompasses an Isur Achila, but that the Isur Achila also encompasses an Isur Hana? And what would be the Nafkamina? There would be a very fundamental nafkamina between these two pshatim. What would be the din, say the Achroinim, in a case where the animal did not, how much is the Isra Achila and how much is the Isra Hanor? If we're going to say that it's the exact same shear, that one Isser, so just like Isser Achil is B'Kazayis, so too is an Isser Hanor B'Kazayis. But it will say the two separate Surim, Isser Achil will be B'Kazayis, Isser Hanor will be a Pruta, which is actually the subject of a Shai, of what is the shear of the Isser Hanor. The Achroinim also ask that the Gemara teach that we know there's a rule, Kamnus the Amar Achmana Loi Savid, I Ovid Loi Mahani. That if the Torah tells us not to do something, even if you did it, it doesn't have any validity. So ask the Mefarshim, here the Torah says that you have to stone the animal. So how can we suggest, ask the Achroinim, that it should be considered a legitimate, that you could shecht it? The Torah says to stone it. And if the halacha is to stone it, kamnus lam rachman alay savid I avid loy mahani. So there are a number of answers given. One answer is that din is only when the Torah says the word lamer. Here the Torah doesn't use the word lamer. Another Torah is that the Torah doesn't speak to individuals. The Torah is speaking to Bezdin. The Bezdin should stone it. There we don't have the rule kamnus lam rachman alay savid I avid loy mahani. And the last Torah that I saw is that the Torah doesn't say don't shecht it. If the Torah would say don't shecht it, then indeed, if you shechted it, it wouldn't be a meaningful shechita, because the Torah says don't shecht it. What the Torah is saying is, you should stone it. And obviously, if you have to stone it, you can't shecht it. But it's not that the Torah explicitly said don't shecht it, and therefore, it's not in the category of Mahani. Maskel of Mazutra, so asks on this Mazutra, Eima Hani Mili, when will I say that if an animal was geshochten, it's Osabra Hana, Heche de Batka, Tsur Veshochaba? If somebody took a stone, you know the Mishnah teaches us in the Sech de Chulin, that if you take a sharp stone and you shecht with it, it's a kosher shchita. So since shechting with a sharp stone is similar to shechting to stoning, the avdei ke'ain skila, so you did an act which is similar to skila, that's why you'll be osur b'hano. Aval heicha d'shach d'b'saken, maybe if you shechted it with a knife, loy, it will not be osur b'achila. Amri answered the Gemara, ot saken k'sibaraisa, does the Torah speak, when it speaks about doing shchita, differentiate between a knife and a stone? Ot saken Ksiva Baraisa, does the Torah speak about a knife? But Tanan, the Mishnah says, Ashoichet b'magal yad, b'tsur o b'kana, if somebody uses a sickle, or a rack, or a stone, shchitasik sheira, in all these cases, the halacha is that the shchita is a shchita sheira, and doesn't differentiate between the different types of shchita. So to make this kind of nafkamina, says the Gemara, doesn't seem to be sensible. Says the Gemara, so now the hashtanai is achila v'sano. That the Torah is teaching us that not both it's us to have achila or hano, melo yoichlas pesoroi. That if you shechted the animal afterwards nigmedino, it's us b'achila s'bahano. Ask the Gemara, balashar noki lomali. Why do we use the word balashar noki to teach us? Answers the Gemara Lanos Ayroi, that you're not allowed to even have benefit from the hide of the animal. The Salkadat Chamina, one would think perhaps, Besara Hudas Bano, you can't have benefit from the Basar. Aval Oiroi, but its hide, perhaps Nishtri Bano, should be Mut Bahano, Kamashwan, Balashar Noki, not even from the hide. Ask the Gemara. Ulahana Tanoi, the Mapkalel Hai Balashar Noki, Drosh Achrina. According to Tanoim that we're going to identify in the coming Shir, that use the words Balashar Noki for a different Drosha. Could have been El Meimel Kamon. Hanorus, Oiroi Menole, how do we know you're not allowed to benefit from the hide? Answers the Gemara, Nafgulume Espesari. He learns it from the words Espesari to teach us Esatofel Besari, what's auxiliary to this Basar, which Mainiu, which is that the Oiroi. Vahaitana, the other man that learned Oiroi from Balash Shonoki, Esloi Dorish, doesn't use the word Es to teach us a halacha. Kretanya, as we learned, Shimonam Sani, Vamrile Nechemyam Sani, Hayadarish Kalasin Shibatayra. He taught all the Essen in the Torah. He taught us a lesson from all the Essen. Achel Giel as Hashem Lekecha Tirish. When he came to the words Hashem Lekecha Tirah, he stopped. Omele Reb Talmidov, his Talmidim Estim, Rebbe Kol Essen Shadrash Tamateileim. But you learned all these Essen. What's going to happen with all of those halachas you taught us? Omele Kshem Shkibalti Schala Drisha. Just like I got Schaf for all of these halachas that I taught, Kach Kibalti Schala Prisha, so too will I have halacha, so too will I have Schar for not teaching them. Achbar Bekiva Felimeid, as Hashem Elkecha Tiro Larabas Talmid Chacham. So Maral asked the obvious question. Shimon HaMasani is saying that he didn't learn, he stopped teaching us all of these halachas. He retracted for everything that he taught from S. Asks the Maral, fine, he doesn't have a limit for S Hashem Elkecha Tiro, but why should that change everything else that he learned? Answers the Maral. Rabbi Kiva, Shimon HaMasani, was concerned that people will believe that Es Hashem Elkecha Tiro comes to say that there's not only one God. A horrible mistake. To avoid that mistake, he said, all the Essen that I learned should be retracted. Teaches us the Rabbi Avram ben Arambam. From here we see how a person should just learn L'Shem Shemayim. And even if he spent a lot of time learning, and then it turns out that what he learned turns out to be incorrect, he gets still the same schar. And in fact, the Trumas Adeshin says the one is the main point in learning is the effort exerted in learning, nothing else. And that was the schar that he got, that he was prepared to get schar for the drisha and for the prisha. The Kedusha Sion says that throughout Shas, the Gemara uses the words Droish or Kabel Schar. Droish, the main thing is just the learning. And if you Droish, if you learn Kabel Schar, you get Schar. There are other times that the Torah uses the word S. And what are we going to learn from that S? The Torah says Vahafta Es Hashem Elokecha. So Mepharshim say either Vahafta, the Shita says either Vahafta Es Hashem Elokecha comes to say that you should love the mitzvahs. Not just, you should love the Torah and the mitzvahs, not just Hashem. But such a pshat could be said regarding ahava. It's hard to explain yira from Torah mitzvahs. Others say that Shimon HaMasani was prepared to understand that one should love a Talmud Chacham for half the Hashem Elokecha. What he didn't understand, how could you say that you should fear a Talmud Chacham the same way you fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We say, V'chalto v'rachto, as Hashem Elokecha. What do we learn from that S? The Rishonim said we learn from that S that we should thank our host. So we have to thank Hashem first, but we should also thank our host. The Pasuk says that Eliezer said, V'atem yeshchem oisim chesed v'emes es adoini. What do we learn from the word es adoini? That Eliezer was saying, don't just do a chesed with Avram, but also do a chesed with Sarah, Es Adoni, Avram's wife. Achbar Rabbi Kiva, until Rabbi Kiva came. Why was Rabbi Kiva the one that felt comfortable in changing what Shimon HaMasani was unprepared to do? So the number of pshatim. One pshat is that Rabbi Akiva, we find, was a person before he became a Baal Tshuva, who would say, "Mi yiten li Talmud Chacham v'anashchena k'nochesh." He had a terrible dislike to Talmud Chachamim until he became a Talmud Chacham and realized what being a Talmud Chacham is all about. And therefore, it's appropriate that Rabbi Akiva should be the one to learn the Rabbi's Talmud Chachamim. Another pshat that I saw is that Rabbi Akiva is the one that showed what Kavod HaTorah was all about by having the 24,000 Talmidim accompany him when he came to the city. Another pshat that we find throughout Halacha, Rabbi Akiva was the person that was so careful about Divrei Chachamim that even when he was in jail, he was prepared to not eat if he couldn't wash Netilas Yadayim, which is an obligation midrabbanan. So therefore, it's most appropriate that he should speak about the rabbis, Talmid Chacham. I also saw pshat that Rav Gifta said that he heard by the wedding of Rav Avigdor Miller. Rav Akiva, at Shabbat Rav Akiva, when Rav Akiva saw the action of Shimon HaMsoni, how Shimon HaMsoni had spent the whole life learning Essen, but he was prepared to walk away from everything that he learned just because he thought it was the right thing to do. So he said, "Now I see what a Talmid Chachamim is all about. The rabbis, Talmid Chachamim, that Talmid Chachamim deserve this great respect as Hashem El Kachatira, the rabbis, Talmid Chachamim." Another pshat that I saw from the Paradise Yosef is that the Paradise Yosef says, "The rabbis, Talmid Chachamim is coming to teach us that not only do regular people have to love and fear each other, but the rabbis, Talmid Chachamim, Talmid Chacham also have to love and fear Hashem and love and fear each other. Rabbis, Talmid Chachamim should respect each other." Another pshat that I saw from Rav Moshe Chaim Lau, the Pietriker of Rav, that he said by the Hesped of Rav Meir Shapiro. At Shabbat Rabbi Akiva, why did Rabbi Akiva teach us L'rabbois Talmid Chachamim, that it's our obligation, L'rabbois Talmid Chachamim, to see that there are more Talmid Chachamim in the world? That's what Rabbi Akiva did, and that's what Rabbi Akiva taught us, is our obligation, L'rabbois Talmid Chachamim. But we'll end with the word from the Dubna Magad, that teaches us, that our Gemara teaches us, L'rabbois Talmid Chachamim, how much respect we have to show to Talmid Chachamim, and as usual, we should connect ourselves to Talmid Chachamim. The Mefarshim, even the Paiskim, even discuss that words that are used in Psukim regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sushar Mrasheichem, there's a discussion amongst the Paiskim, can even be sung when speaking about Talmid Chachamim, because it's all included in the Es Hashem L'Kachatira. Why is there such an important point to connect ourselves to Talmid Chachamim? Says the Dubna Magid, there was once a blind person who was going with an attendant, and he reached the border of his country, and he wanted to show to the country that he was entering that he had proper papers to enter. And he took out his visa, and it showed that he could enter. So the guard said, "Absolutely, you have proper documentation, but I don't see any documentation for your attendant." So the blind person said, "Read what it says in the documentation. The documentation says that this individual who's never blind has permission, has this visa." So obviously the person who issued the country that issued the visa knew I was blind and knows that I must have an attendant with us. So too, said the Dubna Magid, the Pasuk says, as Hashem L'Kachatira, we have to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we don't know how we're supposed to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't know how we're really supposed to worship and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to fear Him and to love Him and to worship Him, He must have given us a way to accomplish that goal. What is the way to accomplish the goal? We have, like the blind person, says the Dubna Magid, an attendant. Who are our attendants? our Talmidei Chachamim that show us the way. And that's why included in a Hashem Elokecha Tira is L'Rabbis Talmidei Chachamim.